Welcome to another program, Now with Mike Bickle. Well, it just so happens today I just finished filming an interview with my dear friend Mark Anderson, who leads the YWAM base. He's one of the top leaders in YWAM across the earth. And at the end of it, we had such an incredible interchange together, just as friends and talking about what the Spirit's saying right now in America. I said, I need to just use this for the Now with Mike Bickle segment. And so come and join us in this interview.
I am Mark Anderson. I work with Youth of the Mission and Call to All. I've been looking forward to this conversation, Mike. I really just wanted to talk to you like no cameras were in the room, nobody's really paying attention, though they are, about what is really going on in the earth right now. It's clear that we're moving into unprecedented times. Both of us have been on these tracks. You speaking into, leading in many respects, the global prayer movement. I've been working with the missions movement across the earth, and they're all under the Lord, and they're more and more finding each other in a real way. But they're accelerating right now in an unprecedented way unto this moment in time.
That's right.
We're in a transitional period right now, and it's serious. And I really wanted to just talk about biblically and the sense of what we both know at our stage of life that the Lord is about to do.
You know, I think of 21 years ago when we first started the International House of Prayer, the 24/7 prayer and worship, and we were close friends, and you were such a support to us. 21 years ago, we only had about 20 staff members, and you had moved from Kona with Youth with the Mission to build this a remarkable missions base that you have here in Kansas City, just a mile down the road. But because we're so close geographically and relationally, and you're locked into the missions and the call to all, and you've mobilized literally hundreds of thousands of leaders in the last 21 years, and I've interacted with thousands of houses of prayer. We've had the conversation from our vantage point of me looking at the prayer movement, you looking at the missions movement, and us interacting a lot. And the last 20 years, things have exploded in the missions movement. I mean, it's, and the church planting movement, that's a kind of the missions movement, yay, church planting movement. And of course, we love that. That's what we're all about, and we're really engaged in the prayer movement. But we've talked a lot, and we've talked about a day that was coming, because the Scripture says it really clearly. A day is coming when darkness will escalate dramatically, but so will light.
That's right.
And the escalation of darkness and light will come into a unique time frame of history where they're colliding like no other time in history. And the phrase that I like to use is the unique dynamics of that generation, the generation the Lord returns. And many people are unaware there are 150 chapters in the Bible, 150 chapters of which the primary subject is what happens in the generation the Lord returns. And those 150 chapters, they describe a lot of the negative that's escalating, but a lot of the positive and the details are right there. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will highlight the 150 chapters all over the earth where people will begin to look at them. You know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Matthew, Mark, Book of Revelation. But we've talked about this for 20 plus years now, these 150 chapters, and we're watching it before our own eyes escalating.
It's almost shocking, Mike, in one way. We know it, we expect it, we're looking for it, we prepare the ground for it across the earth and among the people. You've been teaching about all this, all the dynamics of it. I mean, it's really about the revealing of the sun.
Yes.
You know, I had an encounter, and
I love this one.
2008.
I've heard it many times.
Three-day encounter. About this time and what's about to unfold in the earth, what is unfolding in the earth. And the Lord allowed me to see a storyline. And it wasn't because I was so sharp or close to the Lord, I just came out of a long fast or anything. I actually was dull. My wife had to fast for a month for me to get this. So I don't want to over-spiritualize where I was when I got this.
Yeah, but you're doing pretty good anyway, but I'll skip that part. Go ahead.
But God just woke me up early in the morning. It could have been audible, I don't know. I was alone in the room, I was in bed. My wife was already out jogging. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Right out of Isaiah. Now, I'm startled. I get out of the bed, go into 4 hours of just interacting with the Lord. I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm watching the prayer room here in Kansas City. You and Misty are going back and forth at the 10 o'clock set.
On the web stream, because you always have the web stream on in your house.
I have it in my house. In this case, it was next to the bed, and I'm still in the bedroom. And everything the Lord showed me for 4 hours, you were talking about on this in this set. And I'm going, I'm startled. I'm making notes and trying to document it, and it's talking about, you know, you were saying YWAM, and you were speaking words over these things, and I'm going, this is...
So we're in the prayer room on the on the live web stream.
I'm in the bedroom.
We're not aware that you're even watching.
No.
And we're proclaiming and prophesying about the missions movement and prayer movement, the glory of God, and you're at home saying the same thing.
I had written down 10 points the Lord had showed me the 4 hours earlier, and you were going through those points like you had the notes in front of you. That was the beginning of the encounter. And that encounter went on for 3 days. And of course, we don't even know when we're in these things, exactly what words to put on it, because you're seeing things and you're in things and you're trying to describe it and figure it out. Even to my wife, she's coming to the door knocking, you haven't eaten, and you know, you missed breakfast, you missed lunch, or you're coming out of the room. And I'm going, honey, you've been praying for a long time for me to have an encounter while I'm in one. And so she left me alone. It was 3 days. And the Lord showed me each day, Mike, the unfolding of some of what's coming right now. And what really caught me is we are about to see, I believe, more than a doubling of the church in the earth.
We're going to see. Wait, say that again. More than a doubling of the church in the earth.
Yes, I believe for many reasons.
I do too.
Okay.
I do too.
Biblically.
And we've tracked with the reasons. There's biblical reasons, but there's reasons happening in the earth as well.
This is so critical. So the table's set right now for what I'm saying. I want to get back to that and just finish it, but this is it. This pandemic we've gone through and what's going on in the earth right now, it's prepared the soil across the earth unlike anything has in church history. Never has the soil been ready across the whole earth like it is right now. Seed already planted, being taking root, deep root, just like Jesus talked about, the different kinds of soil. The seed being sown, immediately taking deep root. The harvest aspects that are here in the midst of all the pain and suffering, because it's real, is so dynamic, unlike anything we have ever seen in church history. It's the beginning of what I believe is going to be happening line upon line, wave by wave. But what that'll be, more than doubling of the church in the earth, meaning over 2 billion coming into the kingdom, maybe in one generation.
Yeah, I think it is. Within a decade or two, I really think.
As you know, I live in the mission strategy world and think about, you know, how much Bible translation and evangelism and church planting and mercy ministries is going on and how, you know, all this stuff, right? I can say to you, even saying that out loud to you, that's shocking to get ready for, to actually prepare for as the body of Christ in the earth, personally, because we're all thinking about how do I handle all this shaking, but then corporately in the whole missions movement and how we do this, and how do we prepare to disciple 2 billion people that are, we're not ready to disciple 2 billion people.
Yeah, the nets will break way they are now.
It's all shifting. That's why the whole expression of church in the earth is shifting too, because how we see this has to change. But I'm in this encounter, right? So it's unfolding day by day. The final day is when I see this vast army of young people that just came into the kingdom. Most are going to be young. They're going to be under 20. And this is what struck me. They're staring at the throne room, Mike. They are captivated by the presence of the Lord himself in the throne room and the dynamics of that unseen throne. And that's how they're fixed. They're in full armor of the era, you know, New Testament era, but they're ready for battle. They have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. They're fully clothed for battle. They don't know what the battle is yet, but they're fixated on the Lord Jesus himself and that glory. And that's the setting I think we're talking about. We have a generation that's now being introduced to the presence of the Lord, bride, bridegroom, all the language we try to put on it to figure it out. But it's the revealing of the glory of the Lord, the Haggai again, all we talk about in Zechariah 3 and 4, all the different promises about that. But they're in battle. I don't believe there'll be peacetime again. I don't think there will ever be a generation again that'll be in full peacetime. So this peacetime framework that everybody's used to, I don't believe we'll be in that again. I believe we're in war from here on.
You know, it's the epic conflict of the ages. It's the epic drama of the ages. It's the, for real, that's Someone says that's very dramatic, but it is though. The 150 chapters in the Bible, I mean, God gave us a roadmap with so many details. It's already documented in the Word of God. It's the epic divine intervention into the planet. And the Lord's preparing for the great harvest. He's about to transition the earth to the age to come. That is dramatic beyond anything we can imagine. But there is a generation where it really happens. You know, in Haggai chapter 2, a verse that we've talked about so many times. Haggai 2, verse 6, the Lord says, I, not the devil. The devil's always attacking, though. I mean, I'm not giving the devil any room here, but he's always raging and attacking. We have to reject him, resist him in the name of Jesus. But the Lord says, I will shake the heavens, the weather patterns. I will shake the earth. We're talking about shaking the earth. That's not good. I will shake the sea. Can you imagine what it looks like when God shakes the sea? You know, I think of like a rug and he's shaking it. He says, I will shake nations. And we're thinking, Lord, what are you doing? And the book, that's Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. And Hebrews 12 interprets it. It says, what the Lord is doing by shaking, he wants to reveal to the globe that which is unshakable.
That's right.
So that people transfer what they're trusting in, the shakable things, to they trust in the unshakable leadership of Jesus. And he goes, when I do this, and I tell you, it will be disruptive in the flesh, but he says it will cause the nations to come to Jesus in salvation. And you know what the name of Jesus is in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 and 8? He's called the desire of all the nations.
That's right.
The Messiah, who is not that much desired by the nations. I mean, even in the church, he's not that desirable in many places. I mean, I hate to say it that way. He's going to appear as desirable in context to the shaking. And that shaking is increasing. I think we're at a line of a crossroads. We're crossing a line of demarcation. We're crossing a time of history.
Right now.
Where we're entering to a season. I mean, I think it's several decades long. I don't think it's a week or two, but it's not generations. It's decades, but we're entering into an epic hour of human history of the greatest drama and conflict ever, but it's going to lead to 1 or 2 billion more people coming to Jesus. They will desire him in a way they don't now in context to the shaking.
Well, a lot of the structures, Mike, I believe this, you know, and you know I work with pastors all over the world, love them dearly. So many are my
best
friends.
But I mean, in the cult of all, in the last 20 years, you've like interacted with a couple 100,000 of them.
Yeah, I don't even count them.
I mean, it's gigantic numbers.
But the leaders in the nations need to understand, and the people, every one of us need to understand the framework, the paradigm of what we think the church is right now is shifting dynamically. But it's not even about that. It's about the Son of God. Really, the plot all through the scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is this. The Lord just taking the earth, he's given it to the Son, and the Son now is being revealed. It's the John 17 moment. It's time for the Son of God to be glorified, and it's time for his people to come together around that and give all the glory to the Son. All this organizational building and all the things that we do and the structures we start and the names we put on them and the human frameworks we do. Nothing wrong with that, Mike, but that's not where this is at. This is about the Son, the revealing of the Son and his lordship. It's the gospel of the kingdom being preached in all the world as a testimony to every people group, then the end coming.
But in this shaking, the Haggai 2 shaking that Hebrews 12 quotes and makes reference to, again, it's to reveal that which is unshakable.
That's right. That which cannot be shaken.
Because we think we're locked into that which is unshakable, and the Lord says, not exactly, but I'm going to help you get there.
That's right.
I'm going to help you because even as the body of Christ, the billion of us in the earth, we have need for the Lord to help us to get there because we are leaning on so many shakable things without knowing it. I mean, some of the stuff we know is shakable, but some of it's unperceived. But some of the scaffolding, so to speak, of the kingdom of God in the earth, some of the human structures, that scaffolding is going to fall off.
That's right.
And the structure is going to look different. And I can't guess what it looks like. I don't even need to right now because Jesus is going to show himself as the leader of the church, the leader of the harvest, the leader of the end time prayer movement. And again, the 150 chapters in the Bible that describe the details, I just feel passion that people get that 150 chapters. They don't have to master them all, but start reading it and having the Lord bring you from some of them are in Psalms, some in Hebrews, you know, some in Isaiah, some in Deuteronomy, and say, Lord, start showing us the storyline in a greater way.
Mike, there's a couple of things that come to mind here, and I want to spend a little time on them. But one is the final verse in Hebrews chapter 12 said, our God is a consuming fire. So if we want to understand the plot a little bit here again, it's the nature of God that's being revealed, not just structure and stuff. It's the Lord himself in who he is. And you talked about this many times, spoke on this. I've listened to you talk about it. If we don't know that our God will be consuming anything that's not part of his nature across the earth, we don't get what's going on. And when this all happens, we're thinking, well, I rebuke you, Satan. Wait a minute. The consuming aspect of God, where he's going to burn with fire so that the holiness can be revealed, the real holiness in and through us, is part of this dynamic. So the offense that this might be to those that are living in some other framework of what we call church, and kind of a distant relationship with Christ, but have never really brought him in and say, Lord, what do you want in this? What do you want in this? What is your nature and character in this? This is going to be pretty serious stuff.
Well, Isaiah 33, verse 17, it's one of my favorite Old Testament passages about the end times. Isaiah 33, 17, it says, in that day, your eyes will see the King, that's Jesus. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty. Whoa. Again, Haggai 2 says he will be revealed as the desire of all the nations. And this is a remarkable reality that the Lord is doing this.
Well, there's this conflict. You know, I've meditated many, many times on Zechariah chapters 3 and chapter 4, Mike.
They're real significant as well, Zechariah 3 and 4, but that's bigger than our context there, but they're real. Well, we've talked on this many times, these two chapters.
And for those that are not familiar with those chapters, I just encourage you to read them. Maybe you're going to go, well, what is that? You know, you have Joshua and Zerubbabel, and, you know, it's about the building of the temple in their time, which had been delayed for 17 years.
And that temple was called by Isaiah and Jesus the house of prayer.
That's right.
Which again, is not a prayer ministry in a building. It's the way the body of Christ relates to God in a spirit of prayer.
Yeah, it's the whole framework of it. It's a wonderful subject on its own. But the role of Joshua as the priest before the Lord, purified by the Lord, God, you know, Satan was wanting to destroy
him. That's the consuming fire you're talking about here.
The consuming fire.
Zechariah 3, the purifying.
And each one of us that really submit to the Lordship of Christ can move into that purification. But then he was taught.
We move into it slowly.
little by little.
Carefully.
Well, but here's what intrigues me, Mike. Joshua, it says very clearly, could govern the courts of the Lord.
Yeah.
So what we are as believers, what we are as the church, is meant to move to that kind of level.
At Zechariah 3, verse 7 and 8, the angel tells Joshua, the high priest, if you will repent and you will accept my purifying, I want you to have government in my courts and access to the realm of the Spirit where the angels live. Like, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, this is actually Old Testament.
Intense.
Of course, it's prophetic toward the new, but we are in the season where we can be seated with Christ in heavenly realms if we walk with him. This is a whole dimension of, you talk about the establishing of the church as the house of prayer for all nations.
It's and again, we're not talking about a prayer ministry in a room.
No,
IHOP, we pray in a room 24/7. That's not what I mean.
No, it's how we live. It's how we individually function and how we are a house of prayer. Our actual home where we live is and everything we touch. And of course, the expression of 24/7 is one of those expressions.
But that's just one of many, yes.
Yes, we're agreement on that. And Zerubbabel, though, alongside Joshua, this is what's interesting to me.
Which is Zechariah 4.
Zechariah 4. But it's in Haggai. It's, you know, it's all weaved through the minor prophets. Zerubbabel had a responsibility with a plumb line to establish what the building would look like and the governmental structure. And it was by the Spirit that he had to do that. And then it says any mountain that would be in front of him would be removed because of the authority that would be on him for that. Well, then it says, those two are the two that stand before the Lord. So I'm thinking about Joshua and Zerubbabel, not just as people.
But as ministries.
Yeah.
Priestly and the kingly.
Oh, it's in some ways, a little bit of the prayer and missions movement, meant to be functioning as one before the Lord. Because you have to govern the unseen realm in the courts of the Lord. Everything's decided in the courts of the Lord. For those that don't understand this, this is really critical, okay? And you can expand on it more. Satan doesn't just do anything he wants. The Lord has the ultimate authority, all the power. It's all in his hands. And Jesus said that when he gave us the Great Commission mandate. All the authority in heaven and earth is mine, therefore go. So the enemy has to have permission for things, but that's a deeper teaching. Yeah, but the whole point being, the governing of the courts of the Lord is the governing of all the aspects of what goes on. It's not just church stuff.
It's all the spheres of society.
Oh, it is. And the whole building and governing aspect of what the structure has to be for to get ready. Think of the earth. Think of the earth as what we're preparing for the glory of the Lord. The Habakkuk 2:14 reality. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will be known across the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's one of the things that's starting to happen. Now, that glory isn't just going to be a nice meeting. It's not going to be a great Friday night worship service. That's going to be serious, shaking, consuming, the glory of the Lord being revealed. But we're moving into that.
You know, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about one generation of time. He's not talking about church history 2,000 years. He's talking about a generation, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 decades. We don't know how long the generation is. But he talks about in Matthew 24, birth pangs. He says there are birth pains or birth pangs, depending on which translation that you're looking at. He says they're going to increase and increase. They're going to increase in intensity, and the reprieves between the intensity is going to get shorter. And I believe that this COVID-19 is one of the many birth pains that is happening in the globe. And right now, the intensity of that is physically, it's touching our physical bodies, but it's shaking economics in a way that is devastating. I mean, the economics is beyond what we can see. But the Lord is saying that's a birth pang. And the reprieve between this one and the next one is going to be shorter than this one and the last one.
Yes.
And the birth pangs are going to get more intense. And the Lord is saying, I'm doing it to get the attention of the planet to look at me. Because I have a conversation. There's something I want to do with human hearts. I want to talk. I want to relate. I want their attention. And I'm going to get their mind shifting in the conversation of their heart off of what they're fixed on now to where they're talking to me, because I'm the only one that's going to have answers in the shaking. And they're going to find me, and they're going to find the answers. It's going to be glorious, but it's not going to be easy in the flesh. But I believe right now that we're in a shaking. There's going to be a reprieve and then a more intense shaking, then a reprieve and a more intense. Now, the shaking has escalating negative pressures, but also right connected to it is an escalating glory of God, spirit of power and glory.
That's right.
Of the harvest coming in. Again, the escalating darkness, the escalating glory. Isaiah 60, verse 2 says it the best. When deep darkness covers the whole earth, the glory will rest on my people. So people say, is it going to get harder or is it going to get easier? Is it going to get darker or lighter? And the answer is both. In the same series of decades, darkness will increase, the glory will increase. And again, the 150 chapters in the Bible that describe this, they tell the storyline. And I'm wanting the body of Christ to kind of like shake some of those chapters off and bring them out of the closet. So I'm saying, Jesus, you got a master plan, this epic, dramatic global plan, and we're in it right now. And we're this COVID-19 is a shaking, but in the big picture, the next 10 or 20 years, we're still in a reprieve moment, because there's going to be military conflicts, economic conflicts.
More serious.
They're really coming more. And the body of Christ has got to shake off the spirit of slumber and get into this new, deeper consecration and connection and intimacy with God's heart.
Yeah, the real walk under his lordship. And let's talk about America just a second.
Okay.
Because the United States has played a key role in missions, as we all know, in the last 100 plus years, almost 200 years in some ways. A great force of missions, support of missions, all the translation work, all the stuff going on. We've supported that all across the globe. I believe the Lord, that's a call the Lord put on this country for this season enabled us to participate in that. But there's a God's dealing with this country right now.
And for 100 years plus, the body of Christ in this nation has really taken hold of that.
And they are. And they still carry a lot of the weight on a global scale, though that's shifting now to other parts of the world. But we're not done with that assignment. Might want to call that apostolic or put some name on it, but it might confuse people. But it's really a front-end role. I believe the Lord is telling us, making clear to us, what we do personally right now and how we live our lives is going to determine from here out whether we're going to continue to play that role and be able to affect and influence the earth on the same level. We're in a reprieve, which doesn't feel like one with the pandemic, but we're in a reprieve.
But in the big picture, it is a reprieve.
It's a reprieve.
Even though there is a pandemic going on.
It's a suspension of judgment for a period of time unto something, which is what reprieve is, which means there's something expected of us in this particular time period. That's what I want to talk about, really. That's the important issue. What should we do with so much Bible and so many churches and, you know, 200,000 plus churches people can participate in all across the country? Anybody can access the scripture. What's expected of us?
Well, I want to talk about, I'm going to throw in one thing that's in context to it in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. I'm going to say it again, Isaiah 26, verse 9. 26 verse 9. Why am I carrying on? That's a verse we all need to be familiar with and be able to just flow with it. It says that when my judgments are released across the earth, the inhabitants, the individuals, not just corporate groups, they will learn righteousness when my judgments are released across the earth. They're going to learn righteousness. What does that mean? Well, to learn righteousness is more than, you know, a moral values in our lifestyle. It does mean that. Righteousness is the Father's heart, Jesus' excellent leadership, his beauty. To learn righteousness, there's 20 ways to, you know, to scroll down on that word if you want to. It's much more than just moral uprightness. Righteousness is the right way to view the Father, the right way to view Jesus. Well, his judgments, a lot of the body of Christ are very uncomfortable when you say the J word, the judgment word. They're like, because to them, judgment seems like it's an opposition or a contradiction to love. There are punitive judgments when God intervenes to stop oppressors and to stop wickedness that is hurting people and nations. There's punitive judgments, but there's redemptive disciplines. Those are called judgments in the New Testament. Redemptive disciplines. That's when he's waking up his church. It is a judgment, but it's Proverbs 3 verse 12 says that the Lord disciplines his people like a father who delights in his children. He says, it's because I love you, but it is a judgment. And the third, Daniel 7 talks about that judgment was passed in favor of the saints, favorable judgments where God vindicates and rewards and visits the saints. That's a judgment too. The word judgment has quite a scope to it. When the judgments escalate, the nations, not everybody, but many, will see righteousness in a new way and embrace it. Now, here's the problem. Right now, the nations, the unbelievers, God's judgments, they have no way to interpret them. They just think, oh no, my life seems hard. And much of the body of Christ is too embarrassed to talk about judgment because they're not looking at judgment through the paradigm, through the lens of love. They're looking at judgment as a contradiction to love, which is a false view of judgment, because God's judgments remove everything that hinders love. I want to say that again. His judgments are released, the punitive ones, the redemptive disciplines, the favorable judgments, they are released to remove what hinders love. So we've got to talk about the subject of his judgments and not be embarrassed by it, because it's the body of Christ through the lens of love and intimacy with God. We see there's no contradiction between his judgment and his love and his holiness. The fire of holiness and the fire of love is the same. Oh my goodness, you're rescuing the planet. But he says, I'm shaking, I'm disturbing things in natural circumstances by doing it. And so the body of Christ, there's about a billion of us in the earth. I don't really know the number. I mean, you know numbers better than I do. Let's just say a billion. Let me throw that number out. If there are a billion, hundreds of millions are living in compromise, not overly disturbed by it. That's not good. Maybe there's some millions going hard. Hundreds of millions aren't in the body of Christ. And the Lord's saying, he's not saying, I'm so mad at you, I'm just finished. He goes, no, I'm so passionate for you, I'm coming after you because I have a destiny for you, body of Christ, in this generation of glory and greatness. Of course, it's his greatness, but I want to cause you to rise up. I want you to see the compromise, break your agreement with it, and I'm going to use my judgment to do it. But if the only thing we see is the enemy's attack, then we're just going to put all of our attention in the name of Jesus. Stop the enemy attacking our health and our wealth in Jesus' name. And the Lord says, there's some of that I really want you to do, but I got a message. Because if it's me judging, there's a message I'm communicating. There's a new conversation I want with my people. But if you don't interpret that it's me, you're not going to ask, what is it you're saying? If you only think it's the enemy and you're trying to rebuke him, the Lord says, that's good, do that. Rise up and rebuke him, but bow down. Tear your heart, Joel chapter 2 said. Tear your heart away from compromise. I will be very kind. I'm very gracious, but I do want you to ask me what I'm saying for your personal life. And if hundreds of millions in the body of Christ, but you know, beloved, hundreds of millions of body of Christ that are in compromise, we can't go forward in the great end time harvest with these kinds of numbers living spiritually dull and in compromise. And the Lord says, I have need of thee, like that donkey, you know, I have need of that donkey to ride into town in Jerusalem. Body of Christ, I have need of thee to ride on you, but I got to wake you up first. And that's what's going on.
Oh, totally.
But it's an uncomfortable subject, and a lot of preachers won't touch it.
It's not a negative subject at all, because really what the Lord is saying, if you will respond to me in this hour to what I'm doing right now, and yes, the enemy is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. We're not giving all the
credit.
And
we rebuke him in Jesus' name. We agree with that.
The killing and destroying of people through the pandemic and all that, that's not just the Lord pulling strings. That's the enemy raging, trying to stop something that God wants to bring forth in the earth. But we know that. But if we as the people of God, Mike, and I want to get right down to the ground in America on this, we as the people of God will respond in this hour the way we need to respond and have the opportunity to respond. God is saying, I want to reveal my glory, not just like up here in the sky where I'm going to show the glory. I want to reveal my glory through you, my church, which means the real power of God, the signs and wonders church, the church like the New Testament church that actually operated in ways like Christ himself, when he said to them, the things you see me doing and greater things you'll do in my name. I want to do that. I want to do that right now through you. But if you don't represent me, separated from the world, unto me holy, I can't release that through you right now. So this is one of the graces. This is one of the things the Lord's actually beginning to show us. It's almost like we have these brief encounters. We call them awakenings, different things, you know, revivals. And they had, you know, a few months, a couple of blinks and minutes in history, right? Where we see the manifest presence of God.
Like these 2 and 3 year seasons, 5 year seasons.
Right.
Where the Spirit is moving in a greater way in a geographic area. We call them revivals.
And we do.
Love
and
them.
We want to.
But they're moments in
read
time.
Read the book and do the series and interview that guy the rest of his life. And, but because we love it. We want it, right?
Yeah, we love revival. We love revival.
But the truth is, those are these sovereign things the Lord does
right.
to show us. This is how you could live all the time. If you really got a hold of this. And now he's talking to a generation. I believe in America, he said, there's a reprieve right now. And the reprieve is you still have a chance to find me, pursue me. You're not in prison for your faith right now. You can repent, which means live like you're supposed to live. Share your faith with your friends and neighbors. Care enough to pray about them. Seek me on the deepest levels. These are the things we do in the reprieve right now. And I don't know how long this reprieve goes. I don't know how long
it's not going to go on and on,
no.
though.
So we need to respond, and we've got to respond. And this is the two dimensions, Mike, we're talking about here, the deep intimacy with the Lord, the ability to come closer to him than we've ever dreamed, to know him, the manifest presence of God in our own lives. But then our friends and neighbors all around us being touched, where we actually pray for and connect with our friends and neighbors, kids in schools and people
in college campuses. It's a bigger storyline than just our hearts getting free.
Yeah. It's the two commandments you always talk about.
Bring the others into freedom.
Yeah, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor.
Well, I got those from somewhere.
Oh, yeah, somewhere in the Bible. That came up. But those together are really the picture of what the Lord wants to see happen. It's not one or the other. And in some cases, people aren't doing either one. We have to move into this now in the reprieve. We have an open door, an opportunity the Lord is granting in this season. Again, we don't know how long, but we all have a sense that it's not going to be forever.
No, I think it's a couple of years max.
Oh, I started something called All America, which is just a name you put on a movement, or hope it's a movement, where the body of Christ comes together and actually does this stuff, right, together.
Yeah, it's a witness to every single household in America.
Pray for everybody
by
name.
But you've got thousands of ministries that we're all in this conversation.
Yeah, we all are.
And we'll talk about that later, but this All America thing with many top leaders in America are leaning into it. It'll be take a decade to do it, but I think
that's right.
It'll it's
be
amazing.
Decade. Denominations, local church ministries, everybody. But if we see ourselves as our primary thing is the first and second commandment, where we're loving the Lord with complete abandonment, and then out of that flows our love for our neighbor, and here's the practical things we do that together across the body of Christ, we can shift the United States of America in these years that we're in. We can see a whole nother season of God's grace on this land, not only among our families and here and our individual flourishing, but we can see our assignment in the globe again coming alive. Mike, I'm excited about that, but I actually have a fear of the Lord about missing it.
Yeah, I want to highlight one more passage that in this conversation, because I'm talking about America right now. It's the, we all know the passage, it's good news and bad news. It's the Laodicean church.
Yes.
And
that's
Jesus
right.
talked to the church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, very well-known passage. It really describes the church in America right now. And again, the church in America, there are some millions pressing into God in a new way that's so encouraging, but there's tens of millions that are just comfortable in compromise,
that's
spiritual
right.
compromise, tens of millions. There is more people in the body of Christ in America, and I'm sure it's the whole earth, but we're talking about America right now, that are engaging in pornography. There are more people in America that are kind of comfortable living in bitterness, and it's easy to just flow in gossip and slander. Doesn't bother millions. It's just conversation.
Families
it's like,
falling apart, and it just like the world.
And we could go
be.
On and on. You all know the story, but my point isn't how bad we are. That's not my point. My point is we really are in need. And the Lord told the Laodiceans in Revelation 3, He goes, "You think you're doing good." He goes, "But you're really not doing as good as you think you're doing." But He says, "If you will repent." And He says this, "I'm disciplining you because I love you so much. That's the only reason I'm disciplining you. I'm chastising you." And I believe the Laodicean spirit on tens of millions of believers in America, yes, I want to honor again, there's millions that are going hard, but we're all in this together. I'm not happy to say, "Well, me and a few of my friends, we're trying to go hard. Well, you know, good luck the rest of you." No, we're in this together, the body of Christ in America. We're family, whether we fully grasp it or not. So I'm not happy if we're not all moving forward, and I always want to move forward in a greater way. But He tells them, "I'm disciplining you, Laodicea, the city, in the ancient city, in the New Testament, early church." He goes, "Because I love you. But if you wake up, if you wake up," He goes, "I will dine with you. I will come near to
That's
you.
Right.
I will release my authority in you in a greater way than you can imagine." Go read Revelation 3 yourself. The promises to the church of Laodicea actually are the greatest promises in the New Testament to a church. And it's talking to the most carnal church. The most carnal church gets the greatest promises. And the Lord is saying, "I'm showing you how extreme my goodness is. I'm not angry at you in the sense that a man is angry at somebody in the human sense. I'm zealous. I'm coming after you." But we're in a reprieve, and I'll say this one last point here, is that a lot of folks in America, I'm talking about these, you know, 40, 50 million believers, you know the numbers, but I don't know how many there really are, but somebody says big numbers like that. And many millions and millions, here's what they've said the last year or two, and probably some of you listening, "Lord, I'm so busy in my ministry. I'm so busy in my family. I'm so busy in my marketplace and my education. I'm so busy. I love you. I'm so busy. If I had more time, I would spend it with you. I know I would. And I'm sorry I'm busy." And a year or two or three goes on, and that goes on. And the Lord hears that, and He says, "Here's Church in America. I'm going to shut things down. I'm going to give you the time." What the Church in America is discovering, many, they got the time. that they find out they don't have the heart to engage with the Lord. It's shocking to them because they thought, if I had the time, I would. But they don't have the spiritual root system. They have a dull spirit. And the Lord's not looking at the church saying, bah humbug, you're so bad. He's going, you know why? I showed you this to reveal you don't have the hunger for me you thought. But you know what? We can correct it. Because this reprieve is going to continue for a little while, again, even though we're in the middle of a virus, but in the global sense, in the historical sense, it's going to get heavier in a minute. He goes, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to get that corrected, to cultivate a vibrant heart. But if this shutdown gets lifted up and we go back to business as usual, and the Lord says, I gave you a time to go deeper. You didn't. I got it. I knew many of you wouldn't. But now you know you didn't. And now you know you're not as hungry as you thought. Now you know you don't have spiritual roots as deep as you thought. Good. We can fix it now, because part of the problem is seeing that you got the sickness. He goes, now that you know it, we got something to work on together. That's the mercy of God right there.
Yeah, I mean, the Lord is providing everything we need right now to get close, be intimate. Truthfully, we can right now touch so many lives around us, but what are we offering them? If we're not personally vibrant, we're not intimate and close ourselves, we're not in love with the Lord, how do we share that love with everybody else around us? But we can do both. I'm encouraged, Mike. I just want to say we, in this moment in time, have the greatest opportunity in front of us that we've ever had. Now, maybe you don't think that way. You're looking at the circumstances, my money, my 401k retirement, if you're older. And, you know, young people are saying, can I go back to college?
Yeah, I'm bored. I'm stuck in
everybody's walls. Looking at the circumstances. Get your eyes off of all of that and get your eyes on the opportunity that's right at hand. And the opportunity is, and the Lord is, this thing's just, the table's laid out. The enemy's wanted to destroy everything, but God's turning it, if we pay attention to it, where we can actually engage our friends and neighbors. Everybody listens right now. You can talk to anybody. If you really are engaging with the Lord, and that's wide open, we can do that anytime. Move deep with the Lord. We can go to people around us and say, let me introduce you to this. Let me show you who this person is, Jesus, what he's really like. Wow. And there's no one that I talk to right now that isn't open to conversation. You can do it with our masks on in a distance, you know, in these grocery stores or wherever. They're all open to talk right now because everybody is looking for what is the answer, the solution. The truth is, in the United States of America, even with these 330 million people here and so many churches all around the country, most people, Mike, don't even know the Lord, don't understand who he is. They know the religious framework that uses his name, but they don't know him. And even many pastors I talk to, this is the chance to move in deep into relationship.
Well, he said in Haggai 2, you know, I'm just going to say this, that I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to touch the people here.
Yes, that's great.
Haggai chapter 2, he says, I'm going to shake the land, the sea, the weather, the sky, and I'm going to shift the global conversation to where they're looking for what's unshakable. They're going to discover my son as the delight of all the nations. And he's going to discover it through the lips of the believers who get revived. This is a time where God's rescuing his church. You know, Google said, one of the Google reports is one of the top words in the search in Google is prayer all over the earth. It's one of the absolute number one words. Yeah, I've heard that. Several have told me that. I haven't checked it myself, but I've heard it from a number of different sources. But Lord, we ask you that as you're rescuing the body of Christ in America, even right now, that you're wanting to get a hold of our hearts, I ask you, you would reveal Jesus as desirable to your church, that we would reveal him as desirable to the unbelievers next to us. And as you said in Isaiah 33:17, in that day, your eyes will see the King in his beauty. Show us the beauty of your beloved son who you're glorifying in this hour. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark Anderson.
Yes. Bless you, Lord.